Morning. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word of Live Ministries. This morning's message is going to be from Jonah. Now, Jonah is a very interesting book, and I really like it a lot. And we're going to try to read a few scriptures and then fill in the gaps. But Jonah was a prophet. Got in the Bible. You know, his name is Bible, so we got him in here. And so we see that God chose to tell us the story of Jonah. Now, I'm gonna skip around. I'm going to do the whole chapter. But we're going to read a few verses here. Chapter 1, verse 1, it said, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is coming before me." Verse 3, we're going to read part of it. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." Chapter 3, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Okay, and then we see in chapter 3, verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them." Verse 10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Now, Jonah was a prophet, but Jonah was not a great prophet as far as most people are concerned. But God didn't feel that way. Now, God had a mission for him, and what he had him to do, he wanted him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a great city, but it had turned evil, and God had said, "Look, you know, this evil has come up before me, and I want you to do something for them. I want you to go to them. I want you to prophesy to them and preach to them." That's what prophesy is. Now, I want you to understand that Jonah wasn't taking his own word, and no prophet ever did. When we say prophesy, we're not talking about just somebody fortune-telling or something like that. No, what he was doing was he was taking the word of the Lord. That's what I wanted to read those verses, and it said, "In the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." Now, Jonah was there. He was prophet, and God told him what to say. He didn't say, just do whatever you want to. He said, "I want you to go and say these certain things." Now, a pastor that gets in the pulpit ought to be praying about this, and he ought to be praying about what God wants him to say and say those things. Now, not what he wants to say. Sometimes those things are pretty blunt and harsh, and people get mad at them, but they need to hear them, and that's just the way it is. And God said, "I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them I'm going to destroy them because their evil is so great." And the whole purpose was to have them repent. Now, look, God wants you to repent, and that's it. He wants you to repent of your sins. And in 1 John 1:9, he's saying, if you'll confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive those sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And that's what it is. That's not a sinner's prayer for salvation. That's a saved sinner's prayer of, I messed up and I need to go to God and I need to ask him for forgiveness of what I just did or what I've done or what I've been continuing to do, or maybe a lifestyle that I've got into that I shouldn't be doing, or maybe I've got into something that I shouldn't be, or maybe I've got some thoughts or whatever it is. You take it to God and you repent. Now, repent is not just going and saying, "Hey, God, here, I want to tell you what I've been doing just so I can go ahead and do it again." That's not what it's all about. It's about saying, "God, I sinned against you and I need to bring it to you. And I want to do a 180. I want to do a 180. I want to go back the other way. I want to go the right way because I'm going the wrong way." That's what repenting is. Repenting is bringing it to God and saying, "I don't want to do this anymore. And I can't go anymore without your forgiveness. I need to bring it to you. I've sinned against you." David, when approached with his sin, said, "I've sinned against God," you know, but he had hurt a lot of people. He committed murder, but he said, "I've sinned against God." See, our sin is against God, no matter whether it affects people or not. And we need to take that to God. And so he had taken this to the people of Nineveh, or he was supposed to, and it was for them to repent. Now, the first word comes to it, and it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, and saying, go to Nineveh." Okay. In verse 3, though, we're getting something interesting here, because Jonah flees. Why did Jonah flee? Because he didn't want to do what God told him to do. That's exactly why he fled. He said, "I don't want to do it." He didn't like the people in Nineveh. we may be called to go and talk to people that we don't like. There may be people that we would look at and go, I don't care about those people. They, you know, they're nasty. They're do this, whatever, you know, and you can just make up your own stuff. And you can even think about, as I'm saying this, you're probably thinking about somebody and saying, yeah, I don't want to talk to them. I've been in churches that they didn't want to reach out to certain people. I didn't stay there very long. They wanted to reach out to those ones that fit their little criteria, the ones that were wearing the suits and would they thought would bring them money in. That's not always the case, by the way, but they had their idea. I was in a church one time and we were greeting people, my wife and I and some friends of ours. Their children came in and they were going to college at that time and they walked in. And I greeted them, hey, it's good to see you. You know, we moved over here too. And man, just go in there and they're going to shake your hand and everything. And they walked into that church house and no one talked to them. No one shook their hand. No one looked at them. No one even gave them a second glance. And it was upsetting me. And then somebody else came in and this guy came in and he had a nice 3-piece suit on. He was trim and fit and had a short haircut and his wife looked nice. And I greeted them and they said, well, he said, I'm in the military and we're just in visiting. Thought we'd come by and just come in here, but you know, we're getting ready to leave back and go back to base and everything. And I said, well, that's great. You know, come on in. We want to have you here. They walked in that church house and man, you thought that it was flies on honey. Everybody swarmed around him and just wanted to shake his hand. And later on talking about him. Oh, did you see that guy? Boy, we need to get him to come in here. And I said, he's not staying here. He's visiting. But I said, those other guys, they were looking for a home church. And I said, they'll probably never come back. You know, that's the problem within churches a lot of times. We've got a misconception of who we want and we look at people. No, you know, and I've always told church pastor, you know, who are we looking for? Right there. You put your finger to your neck. We're looking for somebody who's got a pulse. If they're dead, we can't do anything for them now because they've already made their decision. But if they've got a pulse, we can tell them the message of Jesus Christ. We can tell them about what he did. We can give them that gospel news. We can tell them that, hey, you don't have to live in your sin. You don't have to die in your sin. You can go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. But if you are not accepting Jesus Christ, if you don't have him as your savior, you are going to hell. We can tell them the truth. We can tell them the truth message. If they've got a pulse and it doesn't matter what kind of clothes they've got on, we've seen that before too. You know, well, do you see what they were wearing coming in? I've had people come to me and invite them to church and maybe they're deer hunting or something. Well, we don't have anything but camouflage clothes. That's what I'm wearing this morning. And I said, hey, you know, here's the thing. You don't have your nice clothes. I just got one requirement. Wear some, you know, don't come in here naked. And they look at me and then they kind of laugh because I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm telling them, look, I'm not worried about your clothes. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you coming in. I've seen people come in and they'd be wearing, you know, stuff that we would look at it and say it's not appropriate for church. Well, they get saved and they start changing. They start wearing different clothes to church because they realize that they're coming in to worship God, you know. It's not ours to do that, you know. If a child of God comes in and they're doing something, maybe we should go to them and go, hey, you shouldn't do that. You're too revealing. But you know, we ought to do it in a discreet way and in a loving way. But if somebody comes in, they're a sinner. Hey, we ought to say, hey, you need Jesus Christ is what you need. Jonah didn't feel that way. Jonah looked at Nineveh and he goes, I don't want to go there. I don't want them to accept Jesus Christ. I don't want them to have him. I don't. And you say, well, that was before Jesus. No, Jesus throughout the whole Old Testament. Hey, Jesus is God. So this is who they were accepting. So he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And this is what he did. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He thought he could escape. He thought he could get away from the presence of the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you right now, you cannot get away from the presence of the Lord. There's nothing you can do. I've tried it. Others have tried it, you know, and you say, how do you try it? Well, you try to go and do your own thing. You try to do what you want to do. And you say, well, God, I'm obviously not what you need. I want to do something different. I don't want to do this. I want to do what I want to do. And, you know, we've all been there. Maybe we get into something and maybe we get mad. Maybe you get mad at God. and you say, I don't want to be part of this anymore. I want to do something else. I want to do my own thing. It doesn't work. I will promise you right now, if you're running from God, you think you've escaped. You maybe for a little while, Jonah got on the ship. He got on the ship. He paid his fare. God let him do it. God let him get on there. He paid his money. God could have stopped him right there. God could have said, nope, nope, you're not going to get on a ship. You know you're not going to do that. Moses didn't want to do what he was supposed to do. He kept making excuses. You know, I stutter. I do all this stuff. God, I can't do this. You've got the wrong man. No, when God chooses his man or woman, he's got the right one. And if he's chosen you to do something and you know that, just do it. Just do it. And you say, well, I won't do a good job at it. It's not about you doing a good job. It's about you doing it. God will take it and he will use it. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, get into it. Learn a little bit. God's given you some gifts. He's given you some things. Use those. So Jonah got on this ship. He paid his fare and he thought he had escaped. Number one, he got the word of God. We've got the word of God in front of us. What are you doing with the word of God? What are you doing with it today? You say, oh, I know it. I've met people that know it very well that don't live it. They can quote it. They can say it, but they don't live it. We've got the word of God. Are you trying to escape? Are you trying to do what he said? Jonah thought he was getting away from the presence of the Lord. He paid his fare. He got on the ship. Now, I'm going to fill in some gaps for you. If you don't know the story, that's fine. I'll fill it in. If you do, then you ought to love this. Because he got on this ship, and they're going out there. And I can just imagine Jonah. He's sitting back, you know. He's on the lounge chair, you know, and he's going, man, I got out of that one. Well, this is great. You know, it's going to be fine. And all of a sudden, a storm rolls up. And Jonah's sitting there going, I wonder. You know, and it got worse and worse, and man, it got to where to the point it said that they felt like they were going to get thrown about and they were going to sink, you know, and the guys are looking around and they're going, what is going on? How is this going to turn out? We're going to drown out here. This is, maybe it was something that never happened before that they were looking at and they're going, I don't understand how this is going on and all this, this storm and a shipmaster came to him, and said, What meanest thou, O sleeper? He was asleep. He said, do you not realize what's going on? Man, I know you paid your fare and everything, but we're going to drown. He said, what are you doing? He said, arise, call upon your God. You know, and he's saying, hey, pray to whoever you're supposed to pray to. We're praying to who we're supposed to be praying to. And you know, Jonah ends up and he tells them, he says, I know exactly what's going on. My God is trying to get me to do something. And I decided not to do it. And he said, what you got to do? He said, you need to throw me overboard. Now, when I was a kid, I just loved this because I was like, hey, man, they're going to get Jonah. They're going to throw him overboard. But he told him, he said, you need to throw me overboard. You need to just get rid of me and everything will be all right. And they were like, we can't do that. We don't ever throw anybody overboard. That's the wrong thing to do. You know, we don't want to do that. And Jonah said, no, you have to do it. If you want to stop this thing, you're going to have to do it. Because see, Jonah came to the realization he was wrong. He realized he was wrong. And he knew that he knew what needed to be done. He knew that they needed to do this. Child of God, if you're out of the will of God, you know what needs to be done. You need to come back to God. You need to come to him and you need to say, hey, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've messed up, God. You know, I'm part of your family, but I've got out of this. A few weeks ago, we talked about what we call the prodigal son, and he got away from the father, and he was doing the wrong things, and yet he came back, and he said, Father, you know, I've sinned against you, and I'm not even worthy to be that. Child of God, you know that. Child of God, if God is asking you, maybe you're still going to church. Maybe you think, oh, I'm serving God. I'm going to church. That's not serving God. That's worship, by the way. If you go into church, you're going to worship. You leave to serve God. You serve him on a daily basis. And maybe he's got something for you to do. Maybe he's not wanting you to be a missionary or something like that. I know some people that are doing that. Some young people that are doing pilot missionary. They're in Alaska right now and praise God for them. They're out there doing what God wants them to do. Maybe God wants you to do something and you haven't done that and you've gotten away from that and maybe you're running from him. Maybe you're making every excuse in the world. Maybe you're trying to tell him that you don't want to be a part of that. But I'm telling you right now that you need to do what he told you to do. You need to do exactly what he told you to do, and go out there and do it. Now, Jonah told him, said, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard and don't even think about it. Don't even think about what is going to happen. Well, the guys reluctantly did it. They really didn't want to. They were seamen, and they said, look, we don't want to do this, but they did it anyway. And so they threw him overboard, and everything stopped. Everything went back the way it should be. And Jonah sank to the bottom. And he talks about this. Jonah talks about this in chapter 2, and he talks about the waters. In verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Now, I'd always been taught that Jonah just went to the bottom, and it was okay. Verse 17, it said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And Jesus references this, by the way. But I'd always been taught that Jonah just went down. But, you know, if you look at this, Jonah died. Jonah died. He went down to the bottom, and it says, the weeds were around my head. I went to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth was with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. You getting that? O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He was dead. He had died, but God prepared this great fish to swallow him up. Now, people will say, well, that can't happen. They can't swallow anything. I'm telling you what, it did happen. Jesus represented, he said it happened. If you believe in Jesus, and you ought to know, he verified this scripture that this happened. And he came and he swallowed him up, and he was in the belly of this, great whale, as it's in the New Testament talked about, for 3 days and three nights. Enough time to ponder this thing, enough time to wonder about this, you know, enough time to go, whew, I have messed up bad this time. I have got to get back with the Lord. I've got to do what I'm supposed to. I need to get back to him. And he cried out to God. It said that he cried out to God. In verse 2, it said, and I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, the grave, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. He saved him. That's exactly what God does today. He saves people. Look, he's not wanting you to perish. The Bible talks about it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. That little word means so much. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants you to have salvation. He wants you to live a life in Christ. He wants you to have that peace that goes beyond understanding. He wants you to be able to walk through this world with your head high, not because of yourselves, but because of Jesus Christ. Not because of things that we have done, but because of everything that he's done. Because we belong to him, because we know the outcome of all this. We can look at it. Folks, I've read the book. I know what happens. Jesus wins every single time. That's why he says he's given us the victory. He's not given us a path to the victory. He's not given us a way to the victory. He's not given us a victory later on. He's given us the victory right now. We are victorious. The Bible talks about we're more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done, because we believe in him, because we worship him, because we adore him, because we follow him, because we know what he said is true. Everything he's done, everything he said has come to fruition. It's not going to stop now. It's going to keep on. And so we worship him. He was saved. He was saved from death. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord's come to you this morning. Jonah fled. Are you going to flee? Are you going to get away from it? Are you going to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll get in there. Verse 10. And again, when I was a kid, you know, I was a normal kid, and any kind of word that was weird or something I really like. And when it said, he said it, and the Bible is very plain, by the way. It's very plain. It doesn't mince words. It tells it just like it is. It said, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Well, as a little kid in Sunday school and stuff like that, well, I just hoo-hawed, you know. Yeah, he vomited him, yeah. Well, that's what he did. He threw him up. He got rid of him. You know, I don't know what the old fish was thinking, but he's probably thinking, man, this guy tastes awful. You know, he's been down there, and I didn't want him there in the first place, but God told me to get him, and I've been holding him there, and he vomited him up upon the dry land. So he went up there, and there's Jonah. He's out there in dry land. And that's chapter 3, and that's where we come to the verse that we read, and the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time. The second time. Shouldn't have been a second time, but it was a second time, and it came to the Lord, came unto Jonah the second time. God talked to him the second time. Now he had his attention by this time. By this time he had his attention. He'd already cried out. Now I want to tell you, my daddy had a way of getting my attention when I was little. If I didn't do what I was supposed to, he had a way of getting my attention. Now some would say, well, he didn't do right, but my daddy had a little bitty thin belt, and just hearing that belt whiffs through those belt loops just sent terror through me. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, I have messed up. I'm kind of like Jonah. I've messed up. I've gone to the point where, you know, something's going to happen here. And, you know, it would get me in high gear. Just the sound of that. I had a different attitude. Now, Jonah had a different attitude this time. And we need a different attitude in our nation. We need a different attitude toward God. We've gotten to the point where we think it's all about us. We're so fearful about everything. We're more dependent upon the government and people around us, the internet, and everything else than we are God. We'll get on there. We'll put a couple of verses on there. And it just burns me up people do this. They'll put these verses on, and yet they don't depend upon God at all. They want you to think. I know people that put verses on everything in their house, you know. I'm going to tell you, when I see someone like that, I think the kind of Shakespeare, he thinks thou dost protest too much. You're being too vocal about it. You're not really doing anything, but you want everybody to think you are. I've known a lot of people that didn't do stuff like that, but they were great warriors for Christ, and they told people about Jesus everywhere they went, but they weren't tooting their own horn. And that's what most of these people are doing. We need to get a different attitude. We need to do what God wants us to do. He said he came into him the second time here. Okay. And this time he said the same thing to him. He told him to go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh and preach unto it. Folks, preaching is necessary. Preaching is needed in our world today. We need preachers today, and we don't have a lot of them anymore. There are churches without pastors all across this nation, in our states and everywhere, and we're not having a lot, and I'm thinking God's not calling a lot because maybe it's getting close and we're not doing what we're supposed to, and he said, okay, there's going to be a famine of hearing of the word then. Maybe that's what's happening. You disagree with me if you want. That's my own opinion. But he told Jonah to go into the city again. Now this time he did it. This time he went into the city and he started preaching. It said it was three journeys across, and he got about one journey into it, one day journey into it, and he was preaching the whole way, and he didn't even get all the way across the city, but it was starting to spread around. He was telling, and he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." There's verse 5, there's where we get, and Nineveh believed on God, the people of Nineveh, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. It said from the greatest even to the least of them. Everybody was worshiping God. Everybody was repenting. Folks, that's what it needs to be. It doesn't need to be a couple of people in your church. It doesn't need to be a couple of people in our nation. It needs to be everyone to come back to God and say, Lord, we need you. We need you, and we threw you out. You can read in the book of Judges every single time it would happen. As soon as a judge would die, they would go back to doing what they were wanting to do, to their own way, whatever they wanted to do. And God would say, okay, and he'd put them into captivity. They'd cry out to God, and he'd send another judge. We need everyone to turn back to God. We don't need to be like the nation of Israel. We need to turn to him right now. We need to go back to him and say, hey, these politicians that are trying to throw God out of everything, we need to throw them out of office. We need to get somebody in there that will proclaim God. We need to get to the point where we don't say everybody is worshiping the same God, because we're not. Jesus Christ. is the only way to heaven. You can't do anything for yourself. You got to go to him. And they believed on God. So they proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth. That was to show mourning that they had done wrong. And so that was the way they did that. And it was all of them. And they repented to God. They said, God, we've done wrong. We want you to bless us. We don't want this to happen. Now, 100 years later, it did happen. But right now, here's what it says. And God saw their works and they turned from their evil way. Turned from their evil way. They did something. They said, they repented and said, we're not going to do that anymore. As I said, repentance is not just going to God and saying, hey, yeah, I've done wrong and I want to continue to do wrong, but I want you to forgive me right now. I just want you to clean my slate so I can start all over again. That's not what it's about. They repented to God of their evil and God said, okay, I'm not going to destroy you. Well, God knew what was going to happen all along. You know that. But Jonah needed to do it, and God needed him to do it. And so you would think that this would please Jonah. Hey, he had a successful ministry. He had something going on. And the people repented. God had taken him his message and used it, didn't return to him void, and the people repented. So you'd think that it was okay with Jonah, but Jonah, see, he still had the old seeds in him. Those seeds of discontent and not wanting to do what God wanted him to do. And it said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Why was he angry? Because he got swallowed by a fish? No. Because he had to walk across Nineveh preaching? No. He was angry because they repented. He was angry because they turned to God, because in the very beginning of this, he didn't want to do it because he didn't want them to repent. He didn't like them. He didn't want them to come back to God. He wanted them to stay where they were. He wanted them to be under judgment. And it didn't work that way. Now, I've written in my Bible, we don't always get what we want from God. There are a lot of times that we go to God and we say, God, here's exactly what I want. And I want you to work it out this way. And when it doesn't work out, what do? We get angry. Oh, God, you didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't do the things that I requested of you. We can't be that way. You know what? When God tells us to do something, we do what he wants us to do, and the outcome is his. It's not ours. It doesn't always work the way we want it to. It doesn't always come out the way we want it to. There are times that it comes out opposite. And that's what happened with him. And God just like, what's wrong with you, man? I saved you. He's just talking to him. He said, what is going on? God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? There was a gourd above him and it withered. He was mad about that too. He's mad about everything. And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. He said, I'd rather die. He had a chance. He had a chance to just stay dead. He said, I'd rather die right now. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for thou has not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city wherein are there more than 60,000 persons, and cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand, and much cattle? He said, and you care more about a gourd than you do people. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you care more about that gourd than you do about the people that I just spared, that just got saved because they're believing in me now. He said, you care more about them. Now, folks, I want to ask you something. What do you care more about, people or programs? People or just stuff you do? People or your own pride? People are what God cares about. We should care about that. The Bible says if we say we love God and we don't love our fellow man, we're liars. It's pretty strong language, but it's true. We're liars if we say that. So what do you care about? You know, are you praying for souls to be saved, or are you praying for pews to be filled? Are you praying for souls to be saved, or the offering plate to be full so you can go on your next trip or go to a concert or something like that? You see, this is what Jonah's problem really was. He didn't care about the people. He cared more about himself and his own ideas about what God should do. We need to get back to what God wants us to do and not tell God what the outcome ought to be. Look, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I hope you have. But if you haven't, you can accept Him this morning. You can say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need Him. The Bible tells us if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you are saved, are you following after Him? I hope you are, and I hope that this message will mean something to you. I hope that you will give your heart to Jesus. Let us know about it, Word of His Life Ministry, P.O. Box 1152, Mammoth Spring, if you made a decision for Christ. Thank you very much for allowing me to be with you.